Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
I have a story today that starts earlier in the day before I saw the client. I kept hearing, every day is Christmas Day. Like this, and it was just in my head, and I thought, is that in my head? Like, that's not something I say. And I struggled a little bit at first. Like, was this a dead person talking to me? Was this a spirit guide? Was this my own thought? And then I get the energy of somebody else with me, so that helps me separate it, that it's not my own. And then I get this male energy, so it's like, oh, that's definitely not me. And this man says to me, I hear it in a man's voice now, that's me. And I said, oh, you're dead. And he says, yes. Because you have to confirm, as you know, they have to tell us if they're alive or dead. We get both, right? And he says, yeah. And I said, what's the whole thing with the Christmas Day is every day? And he says, I was living my life that way at the end of life. And it was something that I was starting to say out loud to help me, like, live it in my life, because there's a certain energy of Christmas Day. And I said, oh, that is super cool. What's the energy of Christmas Day for you, sir? And he says, well, it became that Christmas Day was the day I was excited to see my kids. It was the day I was excited to be at home with my wife. It was the day that I was supposed to be in my best mood, which meant loving other people, that I didn't have other things on my mind, that I was more present with the people that I love. And he said, so I tried near the end of my life to live every day in my head, like today's Christmas Day. And I said, what the hell happened to you to get to that point? And he goes, oh, later. And then he freaking disappears.
Oh. Oh, because this isn't in a session.
Yeah. He's just gone. Oh, by the way, like I was just driving to the grocery store. Like that's when that conversation occurred. And then I came home because it was morning. I had clients in the morning. I had my lunch. And then I had like a pile of clients in the afternoon. Like I had several. And I thought, oh, well, this happens. He'll show up when he needs to show up. It's on his timing, not mine. I'm not supposed to worry about the timing. So I'm in a session with the first two clients and he doesn't show up. Okay. And then I get into a session and this young man sitting in front of me, young man, he's like in his 40s.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. And you're welcome, everybody. And I get his energy and I hear, it's Christmas Day. And I said, oh, it's you. You're for him. So I went through the consent process with this young man. And this is his son. So I said, are you here looking for a dad? And he goes, yeah. And I said, are you looking for medium? And he goes, well, amongst other things that you do, yes, it's on my page that I want medium. And I said, oh, good. I said, I wrote that down in your page when I was going through consent that we were doing medium and that it was going to be your father. And I showed him the page and he goes, okay, oh, that's cool. He says, so can we talk to dad? I said, yeah. I said, your dad had this thing. I said, like some kind of an expression about that every day is Christmas Day. And he goes, oh my God. He goes, that's my father.
I love when it happens that fast. And yeah. I know it doesn't always for many, many reasons, but yeah. When it happens that fast in the session and the client like locks in and is like, let's go. Like, no questions. There's my person. Say what you need to say.
Personally, as a medium, I wish that was for every client.
I know.
I wish I could send a memo to the spirit world saying, could you just...
But then you think about, yeah. And I mean this kindly, the difficulty of humans because of the layers that we have,
totally.
The trauma that we have, the baggage that we have,
yeah.
Where it's like, this person's going to need a little bit more context and we're going to have to like walk gently.
Yes.
Like you can't. Not everyone wants to get rip-roaring and going.
And you know, a lot of people think, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. And then it happens for you and you can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what I've come to learn is that Karen wants that
yeah.
for Karen. And I want that for my clients because I wish they all could be there. But like you said, I recognize they can't. So therefore, I can't have it. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the spirit world can't work that way. We have to work accordingly to each person. And I recognize that each person leaves a session and thinks, I don't think she even knows what she's talking about because that session wasn't what I wanted. But somehow, when you die, you're going to figure out that that's not constructed by me. That was constructed by your own soul and by the spirit world, not by the human Karen. So he goes on and he said, the dad, and he says to me, oh, he says, I really want to talk about like the earlier times in my life before I get to the story of Christmas. But I knew that if I said that, he would know that it was me and he'd listen to my stories. So I said, okay, tell me something. And what are the stories you want to say? And he goes, well, I was married. He says, and my wife left me. Okay. I offered that to his son. Yep, that's true. Mom left him. And I said, what else? And he gives other validations, like my son has children. I think he had four kids, and which is correct. And he had four boys. Correct. There were other children in the family. There were other siblings, however many. He gave all of these good, I'll call it good, solid validations, because they're just yes or no's. That's it. Okay. And then he says, I changed drastically in my life. He said at the beginning, like when the kids were young and when I was married, he said, my wife would say things to me like, I'm going to cook differently. We're going to eat Mediterranean. And when I say this to the son, he goes, oh, I remember Mediterranean years. I remember that kind of food. And then she moved on to keto. She moved on to certain things. And the husband says, I sabotaged everything. He said, I wouldn't eat. I complained. I went and picked up extra things. I brought them home. So if she was going to have a certain thing on a Friday night, where Friday night was, you know, treat night, or Saturday, where she was making a Mediterranean diet treat, I ordered pizza to sabotage that. And he said, I did things like that because it's what I wanted, but not validating or understanding that my wife was doing that because I needed to lose weight. She didn't. She could eat the pizza, no problem. I was the one that couldn't afford it. She was doing it for me, and I was the one sabotaging it. And he said, and she was teaching the kids like world cuisine. Like, she was doing all kinds of different things. She was giving them wonderful experiences with different types of foods and broadening their education on nutrition and, oh my God, all kinds of things. And he said, I sabotaged so many of those things. And he says, and then eventually, like over time, he said, I came to understand after she left how much responsibility to eat properly was on my shoulders. And he said, but I didn't do it. So I started getting medical problems. And that fell to my children and my daughters and sons-in-law and my grandchildren to take care of me because I wasn't doing those things. And she was off in her own life, angry at me that I was still having this kind of impact on everybody's lives and still on hers. Because now instead of the kids going to her place and taking a turn and going, they were coming to take care of me because I needed their attention. So she was angry about that type of stuff, and it was justifiably so. And he said, so I want to say to my son that all of that type of behavior was forms of manipulation. And I say this to his son, and he goes, oh my God, I didn't see it that way. I didn't see it like that we were choosing dad over mom.
The whole story that you're talking about, like every scenario that you paint that this chronologically older man is illustrating, because this is not a gentleman, just reminds me of like my 7.5-year-old son. When he needs attention, when he needs connection, when he doesn't know how to ask for it, he scream cries. And yeah. Every parent knows the difference between a genuine cry because you're hurt and when they're crying longer because they need you to stay fixated right here, mom. And like all of the things that he's doing are the equivalent of a scream cry, a child's yes. tantrum to say, whoa, fixate over here. I need your eyes on me.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Then he goes on and he says that at work, he had to go and do a negotiation course.
Oh, boy.
And the leader of the negotiation course, after like a week-long course, used him as the example of the worst person in the class to teach the skills to, but that he eventually learned how to negotiate. And he used him as the example throughout the entire course.
That's interesting. I don't know where this is going, but I will say, like, he's a very good negotiator in the sense that the tactics he uses are getting his way.
Right.
They're just not highly intelligent.
That's the point. And this is the point that the skilled negotiator is using to say this is not a good negotiation skill. What he just did when I asked him to get into groups of two, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I watched this guy. I watched how he did this. He picks on him through the course to show his manipulation and to show what he's doing in workplace environments. He is showing how he tries to get his way where he thinks he's negotiating with his management or even with other coworkers, but where he's the problem. And then how the teacher then shows proper negotiation skills for how people will deal with people like him.
That's great.
But that he also needed the tools to be able to improve or he was going to be fired. He didn't know this. Mm-hmm. He just went to the course. So this all comes out eventually. But he's telling his son this. He's saying, do you remember when I went to this negotiation course for a week and how angry I was? And it was like this week from hell, right? A week from hell at home, of course.
Because we're being called out and held accountable.
Exactly.
Just in case anyone was wondering how most humans that are not healthy are defining their personal hell.
Right?
It's called accountability.
Yeah. And then how by the end of the week, he is totally confronted. It's like this massive day apparently at work where all of his behaviors are thrown on the table by this teacher, and the healthy ways of listening, the healthy ways of asking, the healthy ways of communicating, and the proper negotiation techniques are put out on the table for him. And he comes back and starts to improve slightly. But it is years later. And I'll skip ahead in the session for a second to when the dad starts to talk about when he's diagnosed and he's dying, and where he doesn't tell his family this for a long time. He just invites them over for dinner, including his ex-wife. And he says, I am inviting you. You can leave whenever you want. I just have some things I need to get off my chest and I want to say to you in front of the children. And she willingly goes over and says, okay, see where it's going to go. But she, at this point, is pretty independent and can walk out the door when she wants. So she goes. But what she got and what they were all getting at that time in life was his acknowledgement to say, do you remember that course? Yes. Do you remember? And then he comes through and says to his ex-wife, they were just saying to me what you had been saying to me for decades. You were just trying to be the healthy negotiator and the healthy listener and the healthy parent when I was doing all of the sabotage, just like that teacher pointed out in that course. I am sorry. So he took opportunities in that last, and it was years, it was the last years of his life, to be able to call together, and he called this Christmas Day. Because it was, he felt he was gifting them these apologies, and it was just his funny way of saying it. He didn't really believe it was a big gift. He knew that he owed it to them. But he started to call it, it's Christmas Day, so they knew what was coming. He's going to apologize for something. What's his next level of awareness? And it became this conversation amongst the family when he would call and say, could you come over for a Christmas Day event or something? That they understood it, an apology was coming for something. And so he goes through the session to actually say to his son, that he had these events. But Kelly, one of the things that he starts to say to his son is, all of these things happened because I had a work environment that kept holding me accountable or saying they were going to fire me. I had a boss, I had a human resources department that put on a yoga retreat where he finally realized that his wife was right, that he had to take care of his body because he was losing flexibility, that his pain issues were because of tight muscles and stress and tension he was bringing on himself. Mm-hmm. Because he wasn't breathing right and stretching and building muscle mass and all these things that yoga teaches. So then he would go off into the work environment where he had to participate in a workshop. He had to. That actually was teaching him something that he needed to know about his own life.
Can we just pause mm-hmm. and say kudos to the company? I don't know mm-hmm. who this is. It sounds like they truly care about the people that they employ.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. This is what yeah. workplaces are supposed to be like. I care for the person and their well-being so that they can show up and be their best selves.
Yes. And this is why companies and human resources departments within them hire yoga teachers. Hire breathing experts. Coaches. Yes, hire negotiators to come in to teach negotiation skills so that staff can negotiate with each other. Managers and owners can negotiate with employees. Everybody can negotiate with each other and with the public.
Well, you're talking about offering people, humans, continued education.
Yeah.
Right? Which allows for more connection.
Yeah.
Instead of lives.
Yes. Instead of saying, oh, you had a bad day. You behaved like this. You were moody today. You were a Karen today. You're fired. And Instagram applauding the bad behavior of these businesses. Applauding the bad behavior of when someone turns into a quote unquote Karen.
Yeah, and keep in mind, we're seeing a very small snippet of whatever's happening on Instagram.
Exactly.
We don't know what efforts have been made.
Exactly. Yes. I can agree with everything that you're saying because there's different ranges and different reasons people are Karens.
Yeah, we don't see the context.
That's right.
Behind a lot of it.
And I'm speaking to a particular situation in this podcast about this person. So dad sits there and goes through and says, okay, so I had to learn to negotiate. I had to learn to take care of my body. I learned these things. And then as I was learning these things, and it all came through these work environment situations where I was held accountable or fired. So it was all about the money. It was all about that I valued money. And when I said that, his son sat there and looked at me and went, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yes. Go on. And then dad comes around and says, yes, but through that process, because that's what I valued. And he's not trying to say that's the right way to do this. He's saying it was his way, was that eventually he started implementing these tools and started realizing, oh my God, my wife loved me. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, my wife worked so hard.
It's interesting because a lot of people who don't have those revelations would label it, well, she tried to change me. She didn't love me for who I was. She was trying to change me. Instead of, oh, she was keeping my best interests in mind.
Bingo.
And inviting me to care for myself the way she cared for me.
Yes. And that she wanted her children to live different lives. So she realized, I can't stay married to him. I have to leave and go live this life for myself. And I said to him, hey, just to get a validation, and did she find a new partner? What did she do? Did she move on? Did she stay single? What did she do? And he goes, oh, she's single. She has never been able to find a mature enough man in her circles, I'll say, in her life. I'm not saying they don't exist. She has not found that person that she is attracted to or is available and can partner her. So she has stayed single happily because, and I say happily because she's living authentically. She's living with integrity. And that is what she wanted to do to live her own life, period. Put a period at the end of the sentence. And then next paragraph, she wanted her children to be able to see a healthy parent. and make their own decisions. You get to make your own decisions if you want to be like your father, or if you want to be like your mother, or you find some other person to be like. And so he sits there and he says, please, please tell your mother. Please tell her. I understand her intention. I understand how much she loved me and that I gave her no choice. How horrible is it for a person to love their partner and still have to leave them? Mm-hmm. Hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So this young man sitting in front of me, and he says, oh, I really needed to hear that, because I have struggled with some of these things about mom doing her own thing and why she wasn't strong enough to change dad. He said, like, I wanted her to fix him. Mm-hmm. I was mad that she left and left me with him. I was mad that mom didn't win. She didn't win the fight to fix him. And then dad got sick. And then I had to take care of dad with my siblings. And that made me really mad, because his wife should have done that.
So you view your dad as a child or a baby?
Yes. Yeah. And so we had this conversation about the guides coming in and saying, okay, can we insert ourselves now? And I told him that. I always say to clients, okay, got to shift. Your guides are coming in. Your dad's still here, but the guides want to talk to you about the fact that you see your father as a child and that you are angry with your mother because she was married to a child and not to a grown man. And he looked at me and went, almost like you could see like him caving, mm-hmm. like someone gut punched him. And he just looked at me and went, oh. And then you could see him feeling total shame. Just shame. And I said to him, okay, I see a whole mixture of emotions, like anger, shame, sadness, like a whole bunch of stuff. You've like a whole bunch of things are happening. And he goes, oh, yeah. He says, like, and towards my, and then he goes, and then like, blah, towards my dad, and then other things towards my mom, like, oh my God, I can't believe I've been treating my mom like that, like all these decades after she's left dad, and that my behavior has gotten worse, and that I can see I've become more like my father than like my mother. This young man says to me, this session is one of the most important things I think I've ever done in my life. Mm-hmm. He said, I need a hard right. He says, I need, or her turn or something, meaning I need to pivot. Like I have got to get off this call. I know exactly what I need to do. He said, I'm going to my mom's this afternoon.
And it'll be Christmas.
Yes. And that was how the session ended, Kelly, was that his dad said, exactly, it's Christmas Day. That's how everything came together, was you need to have your own Christmas days now. You need to go up to your mother. And you need to do some of the things that I was doing and continue the tradition of the Christmas day.
I love it.
Me too.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.